few months, many conversations around business rescue. Several firms are on business rescue at the moment. Off the top of my head, I think of Murray and Roberts, the construction firm. Of course, the post office, for all sorts of reasons. There are plenty of others. It does seem it slowly, but slowly, more companies are choosing this as an option. But timing is everything. And there are also cases of companies that maybe, if they hadn't waited so long to go into business rescue, the company might not have been lost. Dr. Eric Leventine is the head of the insolvency and business rescue practice at Worksmans. Eric, good evening to you. You've suggested, in fact, that the boards of many companies, they wait too long before going to business rescue. Why do you think they wait too long?
So, Stephen, I think it comes from an understanding of the legislation. We only got our business rescue legislation in 2011. Seems like quite a long time ago, but there are many directors and maybe management that don't really understand the option of a business rescue process. And by the time they work out that maybe it should be looked at, the company is far too gone and you're looking at liquidation, which is a very unfortunate situation because companies going into liquidation, that's the end of their business, and employees lose their positions and their employment. And really, a business rescue could have been an option that could have been looked at had directors understood the process better.
Look, I mean, business rescue, even with the right timing, isn't always going to work. I mean, we have to accept that. I mean, some companies are just in a position where it's not going to happen. The market's shifted, something's happened. I mean, it's not always going to work. A lot of the time it does.
Yeah, I think it depends on when you introduce the conversation. I mean, if you go down the distress curve and you're far too far gone, and let's assume you've got liquidation applications pending, you've run out of cash, suppliers have lost faith in the business, then clearly you're looking at a liquidation. So it really is about getting in early enough, being advised properly by advisors, being financial or legal, so that directors can understand what the options look like. And I must tell you that when you look at the stats that South Africa pushed out, that about 1,400 companies closed their doors last year. A lot of those companies potentially could have been rescued had they potentially looked at the business rescue option a lot earlier.
Are there obvious signs that you need to go into business rescue now? You need to, you know, start the process. And I mean, there can be obvious signs, plenty of signs when you look back at a company and you can say, well, that should never have happened. And yet people are quite good at ignoring them sometimes.
Well, Stephen, you see it a lot in, let's say, the small to medium enterprises, particularly when you've got a family-owned company that's been in the family for a long period of time. Directors or management of those companies aren't prepared to put up their hands and say, well, we're in trouble. Financial distress is looming. We've run out of cash. Cash flow is tight. And they just continue to push the envelope, and before you know it, it's a liquidation scenario. So I think it's about recognizing a market change, maybe a loss of market share, maybe persistent losses, maybe your margins are being reduced to unsustainable numbers, and struggling with paying your debts. You know, if you can't pay your debts as and when they fall due, particularly to your suppliers, you clearly have a warning signal there that you need an intervention, and that's the time to engage with a business rescue practitioner to see whether or not business rescue is an option or alternatively liquidation.
Is there sometimes just too much pride? And I mean, you know, often, you know, we're all a bit scared sometimes to ask for help in public, and is that maybe the real issue?
Yeah, I think it's a lot worse if it goes into liquidation, because sometimes creditors who've lost money get quite upset, and they might put those directors into a witness box and have what they call an insolvency inquiry, which is not a very pleasant place to be. So I do think it's something which directors have an obligation to read the provisions of the Companies Act, get proper advice, and rather know what the intervention looks like. You know, business rescue practitioners are highly skilled restructuring professionals and understand what business rescue plans look like. And if you engage with them, consult with them, maybe that it is an option. Obviously, a business rescue practitioner will recognize a position where rescue is not an option and rather advise for the filing of liquidation.
I think a lot of people probably worry they'll lose control of the company and never get it back. I think sometimes the government worries that about the post office, for example.
Well, the post office has been in business rescue for some time, and I think they're still looking for about 3.8 billion rand from government, and it remains in business rescue without any funding in sight from government. So I do think that there must come a point, and I'm not talking about the post office necessarily, but other companies where you have run out of cash, there's no line of sight on funding, whether it's from your existing bankers or maybe even your shareholders. And that's the time when to consider, either a rescue if it's not possible where there's no funding. Maybe liquidation is the option. And you have something called a zombie company. You don't want to continue to trade in a situation where you really are kicking the proverbial can down the road. So that really is something where you need to take advice and understand what your options are.
I presume that for individuals who make these decisions, so I'm talking, I presume, really about board members and maybe CEOs, if they're found to have not gone into business rescue and sort of missed the boat, I mean, they could find themselves in real trouble if they didn't take an option that was available to them that could have saved the company.
Yeah, I mean, directors and management can be held personally liable for the debts of the company if they potentially should have put the company into business rescue and didn't, or waited too long, or maybe incurred credit with your suppliers when you knew that you could not finance that credit or pay that credit back. And that's when very difficult questions are asked, as I said earlier, in an insolvency inquiry, when directors and management are put on the spot. So it is about personal liability. It's about losing control. But it might be better to lose control rather than be asked very difficult questions in the witness box.
I remember when the legislation came in, it was the sort of late 2000s. Before that, there wasn't that option of a business rescue. And the idea was, obviously, to try and reduce the number or the percentage of companies that end up going insolvent. And I wondered if maybe this was one of those reforms that takes time to be fully felt. In other words, and you'll know the numbers better than I don't know the numbers at all, maybe in the first year after such a big reform, you only have one or two business rescues. But as more and more people become aware of it, as the practitioners build in experience and practice and all the rest and expertise, perhaps this is one of those reforms that we haven't, even though it's over 15 years, yet felt the full effect of. In other words, it'll build momentum and we should see more of these rather than fewer in the future.
I agree with that. And I do think when you just look at the number of business rescue practitioners who are open for business in South Africa, clearly business rescue has a place. It does bring us into line with international jurisdictions, which have had this legislation in place for many, many years. And as you say correctly, prior to 2011, all we could do really with companies in trouble was put them into liquidation. But it is growing, and I think the more we speak about it and the more directors and management understand the legislation, the greater number of companies would be filing for business rescue and hopefully save jobs, rescue the company, give the companies a fresh start, and be able to compromise your historical debt, which is a very important feature of the business rescue legislation. So you compromise your historical debt, and then obviously once that's been done, continue to trade into the future, which has to be good for South Africa, for South Africa's economy, and particularly for the job market.
I mean, I think a lot of people who hear about this will ask what to me seems a perfectly rational question. If person X can't manage a business properly and they've been running it for a long time, why would person Y be any better just because they're a business rescue practitioner?
No, that's a good question, Stephen. But what really the business rescue practitioner must do is examine the ability of existing management, look to see maybe if there's a third-party buyer of the business, maybe replace existing management or the board, for that matter, with new board directors or new management. So it's not just about continuing forever with the business rescue practitioner. There's a finite number of months that a practitioner should be in place. Thereafter, he must put together a plan, which would entail maybe new management being put in place, maybe selling the company to a new owner, and then exiting from the business rescue process, hopefully allowing the company to trade on successfully into the future.
Dr. Eric Lieventein, thank you very much indeed, Head of the Insolvency and Business Rescue Practice at Worksmans. I don't know if you've been involved in that process. I mean, maybe you've been an employee at a company that's gone through that and survived, and the company has sort of come out the other end. Really like to hear your story tonight on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567.